This is the Hong Kong Football Podcast, coming to you from Kowloon, Hong Kong, after a fortnight in which Wang Zhenpeng sees red as Kitchy put to bed, a season in which they disappointed, and Southern prepare for cup final affair with 7-1 nightmare. A lot has happened in the past fortnight. We've got last day chit-chat, news of the Hong Kong team, a preview of the big FA Cup final this weekend, and an interview with our player of the season. Stick around for that.
My name, as always, is James Legg, and I am joined, as ever, by Tobias Tusser. Toby, first it was the Avengers, then it was Game of Thrones, and now in the latest pop cultural finale, the Hong Kong Football Podcast has reached its final edition of the season.
Yeah, I mean, for this year, we probably come back.
That's technically true of the Avengers as well. They will come back.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Without though. So
spoiler alert.
Who are we killing off? It's usually the side host, right?
Okay. Hopefully nobody gets killed during the course of this podcast. I want to start with some good news about our fundraising effort for this year's Season Review magazine. We have hit 96% of the total required to fund this year's magazine, thanks to the very generous donations of all of our listeners who have chipped in. Thanks so much for your support. And if you want to see a full list of those names, they will be printed in the magazine, which has just gone to the printers.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a historic moment.
Yeah. In Hong Kong football publishing. Thank you so much to everyone who's supported. But also, like I said, it's 96%. It's not quite 100. If anyone does still want to throw us a few dollars to make sure that we get over the line, if you want to be the person who pushes us over the line, then you can do so by Googling Hong Kong Football Podcast Fringe Backer, or there is a link in the episode description, or I think there's a link on our Instagram as well. Although I should point out that, like I just said, the magazine has gone to the printers, so sadly you will not be able to be mentioned in the printed product. So if you were just after it for that kind of recognition, then you'll have to wait till next year. Like I say, once again, thanks so much to everyone who has contributed, and hopefully the magazine lives up to your expectations. We will be there on Saturday, Toby, for the FA Cup final, handing out these magazines. We plan to be kind of on both roads as they approach the stadium. We'll be the guys being hassled by security and handing out magazines out of boxes. Please come and say hello. It is a free magazine. It is supported by our supporters. Yeah, come and get a copy. We've talked about it a lot, so you probably already get the gist. But yeah, come say hi, get a copy, and read it over the summer. Now to the football. I had a great day on Sunday watching Taipo versus Dreams up in the New Territories. Taipo won 3-1, although the match was played with quite a friendly atmosphere, what with Taipo already being champions and the weather being so hot. It was a real festival atmosphere in the stadium. 2,000 people were there to see the Greens lift the trophy at the end of the game. Lee Chee Kin brought in a few bit part players to give them some game time, maybe to give some others a rest. Yeung Chi Lun was at the back. Toby Down played in midfield. The star man, Igor Sartori, playing what we think was probably his last game for Taipo, was given the captain's armband, and it was just a fun game. Lots of showboating from players like Michel Lugo and Joao Emir, most of whose touches were back heels. At one point, he did a backheeled clearance from defence.
Why not?
Why not? You've won the league. Well, you know, Sartori really got out his box of tricks. He was going past people in all sorts of ways. But it was a Hong Kong defender who opened the scoring. Fung Hing Wah, one of the stars of their title season, got them 1-0 up before Dreams equalised nicely through Marcos Gondra. This is the kind of game it was. When Dreams scored, like, a light ripple of applause kind of went through the Taipo stand. So it was not the most competitive. But the champions did end with a win, with goals from Eduardo Preyas off the bench and Sandro. 3-1, it ended. Sartori was actually subbed off for Preyas, and he got a much-deserved standing ovation from the whole stadium. Star of the season, star of the club for the past 2 years. Scored some great goals this year, very important goals, and he's been one of the biggest, if not the biggest, names in the league this year.
Wow, imagine if we could have talked to him.
Imagine if we could have just, you know, before he leaves, if we could have got some kind of, I don't know, like a recorded interview or something. That is exactly the kind of thing we would play later in there. But we don't know if that happened or not. He was keen to show his gratitude to all of the Taipo fans, just as they were to give him a good send off. And yeah, all joking aside, stick around because we do have an interview with Sartori later in the episode. This game really renewed my faith in football. Yeah, after Saturday night, watching the English FA Cup final, which, in case you didn't see, Manchester City won 6-0 against Watford. And there's a lot of talk about how, you know, football's reached this tipping point in which you have the best and then you just have a bunch of teams who are there to lose against the best, essentially. And thinking more widely about what football has become and how at these big major games, it just seems to be the exchange is money in one direction from fans to clubs, and then all that clubs give back is world-class content. It was quite nice to be in a stadium where so much gratitude being shown in both directions, like so much genuine, heartfelt pride for the Taipo fans, for their team and what they've achieved this year. And I honestly felt it was sincere the other way around as well. You know, Lee Chi-Kin has such a good rapport with the fans, but also so do so many of his players. You know, they're not rich millionaires. They are footballers who rely on this for their income. It was just a really nice feeling. And it kind of reminds you why in the world of super clubs and World Cups in Qatar and UEFA Cup finals in Azerbaijan, it's nice to remind yourself about the quality of football, especially at a community level.
Absolutely. And I think we have stressed this already 2 weeks ago, but it's the first time for a district side to win the championship. So this is a very big deal. And I think that Taipo really underlined this with the following bus tour, which just followed after the lifting of the trophy inside the stadium. So they went around the entire district showing the trophy, being met by just people on the streets cheering for the team. And this is something that you rarely see in Hong Kong football because not so many teams have this community base and community root. So a special moment. And yeah, hopefully we can see some of this again in the near future.
Yeah, I mean, last season, Yuen Long did something similar with the Senior Shield win. And you never know, Southern might get to do the same after the FA Cup final. We'll see.
Yeah, Taipo did it as well after the Southland Cup win.
Yeah, okay, we're going to have to keep going back, right? They are the champions. They finished 5 points clear of RNF, who they beat twice during the league campaign. They've lost one game all season and they've ended with 9 straight wins in the league.
Whoever would have told me that Taipo are going to finish 9 points ahead of Kitchi, I would have just said, you're crazy. That's not going to happen. So it's really impressive. And I think no one expected this. Even I think the most loyal and dedicated Taipo supporter would not have dared to dream like this. To make a Hong Kong football reference.
This is all great. And I think we should really savor what a great season it has been and what a story that is. Even as we say all of this, it looks like it's starting to fall apart.
Yeah, that's certainly true.
Lee Chi-Kin has said he's not certain that he'll be staying. He wants to know what the plans are. Are they going to go back to being a plucky little district team, or are they going to try and build on this? Maybe, you know, bring in more players like Sartori, even if he leaves. Let's say Lee left and Sartori left, and maybe one more player like Eduardo Preyes or Wong Wai, then the chances of another league title are very slim.
Yes, I have a similar feeling. I mean, it will depend a lot on this coming summer, how RNF are reacting, how Kitchi are reacting, who are they bringing in, how many of the Taipo players they are trying to sign up. We also don't know yet what might be the plan for teams that are getting promoted. So there are always a lot of question marks around this. Now, a lot of people have expected, of course, Kitchi and RNF to have a very competitive season this year. It was an only true for RNF. But I think for the district teams, it will be very hard to keep up this level, in particular for Taipo to repeat anything like it.
Yeah, we wish them well over the summer. And of course, we'll see what happens. We're always happy to be surprised. What else has happened? Kitchi lost 2-0 to Eastern. Lei Hong Lim and Robson Shimabuku with the goals. A disappointing end to a disappointing campaign for the deposed kings of Hong Kong football. It tells you something about how bad it's been that after that result, they're just 1 point above Eastern. They finished just 1 point above Eastern, who have unquestionably had a patchy season. They've had, you know, lots of different coaches and they've never really got going apart from, you know, the opening 4 or 5 games. They're also, as you mentioned, a full 9 points off Taipo. They're going to finish fourth. You were at this match. Well, I realized you actually swapped teams, didn't we? Normally, I'm the Kitchi guy, you're the Taipo guy.
Yeah, of course. I always have to support the underdogs.
The dynamic really has changed around here. How was your afternoon at the Hong Kong Stadium?
I was a bit worried that it might be just a meaningless game, but it was quite entertaining. I think it all started in the early minutes of it when Wang Chimpeng was sent off with a red card. He handled the ball outside the box following a one-on-one with Manuel Bleda. And yeah, he was immediately sent off, rightfully so, and then replaced by Guo Xianqiao in goal. And yeah, this very much led to Eastern dominate the entire game from that moment on. You could really see that they have a one-man advantage. Kitchi also seemed to not really put too much effort into it. They had actually some players playing at the Hong Kong Soccer Sevens during this weekend. Then they rested Fernando as well because he was on 4 yellow cards. They did not want to risk him ahead of the FA Cup final. And I think they generally didn't want to risk anything ahead of the much more important FA Cup final, because this is where the second AFC Cup spot will be decided on. The runners-up spot this year is just a kind of golden pineapple that you can win.
Helio didn't have the best game. It was his pass that got Wang Zhenpeng into trouble in the red card incident. And also he basically did the same a few minutes later for Lei Hong Lim's goal. So not the best day for him.
Yeah, I only can agree to this. Yes. But yeah, for Eastern, it was a kind of okay ending to a very troublesome season. It'll be interesting what their plans are over the summer. Certainly finishing fifth below Salwan Taipo is something that we wouldn't have really expected. They had actually a very good start if you think back, but then became very insignificant. So it'll be interesting to see what they are doing.
Well, one player who might have left the stadium with the Kitchi players rather than the Eastern players is
Manuel Bleda. There are rumors around this. I mean, now it's the time for rumors. It's a pity that the podcast will go on a summer break, because it means we cannot spread all these rumors out there. But yeah, we will hear a lot of this over the summer. There have been talks that Bleda might go to Kitchi. There have been talks that R&F are going to sign Iga Satori. So we will see kind of a merry-go-round.
Yeah, the rumor mill is in full throttle. I suppose it's like really fertile ground, isn't it? Because once the season's over, almost every player is out of contract. So there's barely any limitations to, you know, if you're talking about like top level football, it's like, oh yeah, but he's under contract for 4 years, so you'll never get him. I know Sandro is under contract until the end of next season with Taipo, so he's probably not going anywhere. But yeah, I mean, anyone could go anywhere really, because most players are on annual contract. It's just about who makes them a good offer, I guess.
I mean, that also, like, even if you have a contract, you can always be bought out in Hong Kong. The threshold is very low to leave earlier.
But I think clubs are also loath to pay any fee to free you from the club, really.
Well, R&F would, certainly.
That's true. Yeah, interesting season for Bleda. Actually, in terms of league goals scored, he is joint top with Lucas. The kind of tiebreaker is goals in cups and things like that. So Lucas did win in that sense. But he got 12 goals, so many of them against Hoi King. I think 5 of them came in 2 league games against Hoi King, which, look, I mean, I know that they all count, but kind of diminishes it in my eyes a little bit. He hasn't been as impressive this season, I don't think, as he was maybe 2 seasons ago, but he would be a good option for Kitchi, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I guess so. We will most likely expect Josip Tadic to leave Kitchi, I think, over the summer. So there is a second forward position available, depending, of course, if they also keep Lucas or not. And yeah, I think Bleda has proven himself that he's a danger man up front and someone who is already used to Hong Kong, knows the league very well, and he's Spanish, so he will fit in the Kitchi squad very well.
Are there any other transfer rumors, transfer news?
I don't want to be held accountable for all of this, okay? If it doesn't happen, it's not me. But yeah, Travis Major has been affiliated with Salvan. He already left Pegasus a few weeks ago. And Sean Diego Moser of Yulong has been associated with Eastern. So yeah, I mean, not the most exciting transfer news, but still, it indicates that there will be some action over the summer.
Yeah, especially when it comes to centre forwards. But speaking of Moser, in one of the more surprising results of the weekend, his current team, Yulong, put 7 past Southern. The Aberdeeners did get 1, but even that was an own goal by Kessie. Until this weekend, Southern had conceded the fewest goals in the league, a proud record. This one result alone means they finished the table 4th in that respect. I mean, they only actually conceded 24 in total, so they conceded just under a third of all of their goals for the season in this one match. 3 of the goals were from poorly defended set plays. 3 involved number 2 goalie Lo Yat Chun being beaten at his near post, although one of those was a lovely 20-yard strike from Chern King Fung. Moser scored 2, which were his 8th and 9th of the season. Interestingly, that puts him second in goals in all competitions after Lucas, as I mentioned, so not a bad season for him. In defence of this Southern defence, it was a bit of a second string. There was no Beto Fronza, no Lau Hock Ming. I guess this might have had something to do with the cup final.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Yeah, there's a few names who we're not used to seeing on the team sheet. And overall, it's been a great season for Southern. I don't think this will take the shine off it, especially if they were to win the cup. They finish third in the league. They are on the same point total as Kitchy and have an inferior goal difference, but crucially, they have a superior head-to-head record, which is all that counts. A third-place finish is not bad at all.
Nonetheless, what happens, there will be one player we will not see anymore for Southern, and this is Sham Kwok Fai, who had his last game, and he will go into retirement, but he will still stay with the club as an assistant coach and so on in the near future.
Yeah, I mean, he's been around local football for ages. I think he's in his early to mid-30s. Yeah, why has he not stuck around for the cup final? Do we know?
I think he may still be there at the cup final, what I know. But the farewell was done at the home stadium to just give him this kind of proper goodbye.
And very nice it was. I saw the pictures. Yuen Long finished 7th. A strange season for them. So many high-scoring matches. It's absolutely insane. Like, you look at their last 4 games. You've got a 7-1, a 4-3, a 3-2. Before that, there was a 3-2. 2-2s all over the place. They're that kind of team.
Yeah, certainly. Kenneth Grock's team.
Yeah. Weirdly, I mean, you know, they've got so much spirit and energy, maybe lacking, you know, on the organizational front. But then, interestingly, Kenneth Kwok still gets nominated for manager of the season. I think the nominees are Lee Chi-Kin, who there is absolutely no question should win it. Then Alex Chu, who's probably had the most disappointing team in the league. And then Kenneth Kwok, who, well, we've just discussed his team and their topsy-turvy nature.
I think there are two reasons for this. Number one is that Yuen Long were expected to be a relegation candidate. And I think with the players that Kenneth Kwok had at his disposal, they really overperformed and surprised a lot. I mean, they just beat Southern 7-1. And
yeah, one game. They finished seventh.
But certainly, I mean, they finished seventh. That means they still finished above 3 other teams. And they were supposed to be not even existing over the summer. So most of the players left. The entire team was a new one. You had like second string foreigners coming in. And I think altogether, no one expected much from the season. And then playing kind of attacking football style and, you know, still being able to annoy some of the bigger teams. I think that that's quite respectable. I think some part come from it, but the other thing that I believe might have influenced this decision is that I think there's more perception around Kenneth Kwok and his role with the national team as well. And I think this helped him to get this kind of nomination. So of course, he was assistant coach during the East Asia Cup qualification and then also won the second consecutive Guangdong Hong Kong Cup, which has become a kind of a big deal in Hong Kong in recent years. So, and I think it maybe is also related to that.
Yeah, I think the cult of Ken is fair enough. People really like him. That's great. He did great things, especially the Hong Kong Guangdong Cup. And I understand why that built into it. But this is an award for their jobs as club coaches. And I don't think he's anywhere near the top 3 in the league. I think Ricky Cheng is definitely above him and Yeung Chin Kwong, but that's just me.
Let's point out, that's just him.
And in fairness to what you're saying, he is the only coach not to have been beaten by Tai Po in the league this year. They drew twice with the champions, so that's an achievement.
That's true. Yes. Here you go, James. I think you still will be convinced in the end.
RNF ended with a win, beating Pegasus 3-2 at the Mong Kok. Serge Deble scored, which means he scored in each of his last 3 games. RNF's winter arrival getting into the groove after a slow start, though he was helped a bit in this case by Pegasus keeper Zhang Chunhui, who should have done better. RNF, of course, finished second, and if they could just add a bit more intensity and consistency, they'll be major challengers next season, no question. Pegasus, as we already knew, finished 6th. They seem fairly rudderless at the moment. And Hoi King ended with a win.
Woo!
Yeah, they beat Lee Man 1-0 in Chun Kwan O, thanks to a goal from Lu Wai Yip, Chris Annan,
Hong Kong football legend,
with the assist. Some good refereeing to report. An Lok Fung's goal for Lee Man was disallowed at the start of the game because Ndri was in an offside position and he was in the way of the goalie. So nice to see some decisive, good quality refereeing. While we're on that subject, Gigi Law was in charge of the Tai Po game, and the linesman erroneously waved his flag when Fung Hing Hwa was about to score. Fung scored. Dreams thought that it had been disallowed, but the ball had clearly come off of Dream's defender, and between them, the linesman and the ref decided that she was going to overrule him. So, you know, things are looking up on the referee in front as well. The Hoi King end the season bottom, of course, with only 2 wins and 2 draws to show for their efforts, 8 points in total. But that is the highest point total for a bottom side in 3 seasons.
Wow.
So, you know, the bottom is getting better.
That's impressive.
Yeah, Rangers got 6 last season and HKFC got the same amount the season before. So not all bad for the Kingsmen. Lehman finished 9th on 11 points, and that's everything that happened at the weekend. After the break, we are going to talk national team, FA Cup final, and we have an interview with our player of the season, you guessed it, Igor Sartori.
The Hong Kong Football Podcast comes out every 2 weeks, dropping on each second Wednesday. Make sure you never miss our latest show by subscribing on iTunes, SoundCloud, Podcast Addict, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Okay, so you and I went to Taipo training session a few days ago to speak with our player of the season, Igor Sartori, and we interviewed him. It was a very, very nice guy, good to chat to. We'll run the tape in just 1 second, but yeah, it was pitch side in Taipo, so there's a little bit of background noise and so on, but other than that, here he is, Igor Sartori. Okay, so Igor Sartori, you've won the league. You are Hong Kong Football Podcast Player of the Season. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy.
So, can you tell me about the season?
So, this season, I think, was amazing for us. In the beginning, a little bit difficult, you know, we draw many games, but when we put in our mind, oh, we can be a champion, so everybody start to play very, very good, and in the end of the season, champion, sure.
And so, at what time did you start to believe you could become champions?
I think, in January, when we lost against Kichi in the Senior Shield final, but we know we did a great game, so everybody disappointed, you know, for the result. And after this, we played against Kichi at home stadium, and we won 3-0. So after this, yeah, I think we can be a champion, sure.
And you scored in that game, and it was one of the biggest games of the season. Could you tell me a little bit more about that performance? Because it was such a good performance for Taipo.
Yeah, I think that game was the best game for us. Yeah, everybody played great football, you know. When we scored in the beginning of the game, and I think it helped us, you know, because the other games against Kichi, we always Kichi always scored first, so that game was different, and we had many chances, and yeah, that game was one of the best, yes.
And for you personally, you had a great season last season. You've had another good season this season. Do you think you've changed while you've been in Hong Kong, or do you think this season was better than last season?
In my opinion, I played better this season. I don't know, more prepared, you know, and more focus. Last season was the first season in Hong Kong. I didn't know the players and the other teams, you know. This season was completely different, and I already know everything, you know, about Hong Kong, and I know my teammates, and they trust me, you know. So yeah, I think the performance, I think this season was better.
And who else around the Premier League, who else has impressed you this season? Like, which players do you think have been the best?
Another players? Yeah. Oh, another players. My teammates think Michel and Price. Yeah, these two did a great job this season too. And local, I really like Tianfeng, you know, the defender. and I think the goalkeeper, the Kago, and I think Wajai, yeah, these three, in my opinion. And the other teams, I think maybe Thiago, yeah, did a great season. Yeah, that's it.
And what changed for Taipo this season? Last year was second place, which was a great finish. But this season, you won the league by, you know, there's still one game to go and you've already won the league. What, or did anything change, or did things just click into place?
I think last season, the active not win. Sure, we want to win, but I think it's more because Kichi last season was much better than the other clubs, you know, only Kichi, and they won, I don't know, three rounds before. Yeah. Our last season, we really only focused on the AFC, you know, we need to go to the AFC, these things. And no, this season was different, putting, oh, we need to be a champion, you know, because last season we lost three times, two cup finals and second position in the league. And for me, I was really disappointed, you know, and I put in my mind, oh, if I stay in Taipo and I will stay, I need to win, you know, and yeah, that's it, we win.
Yeah, won very well. You've mentioned the AFC Cup. How would you describe the AFC Cup games so far? Like, how has it been?
Completely different than the games, the local games here in Hong Kong. Another atmosphere, playing Mong Kok Stadium, many fans, everybody supporting us, you know, because Taipo is the team from Hong Kong, you know. So, yeah, completely different, the atmosphere, everything, yeah.
Igor, thank you very much for your time. Congratulations once again on a great season, and good luck in the future.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
So as we have hinted at, it is very much expected that Igor Satoru will leave Taipo over the summer. One of the possible destinations for him is R&F. There's some speculation around this. R&F in total will have a very interesting next season. It seems that they're trying to become a so-called full Hong Kong club in the Premier League, which means that they would follow the same rules as local sides. At the moment, they had some special regulations. They could field mainland players and only two foreign players. And already at the beginning of this very season, they mentioned that the long-term plan is to eventually qualify for the continental competitions. So what's most likely going to happen is that next year, R&F can sign six foreigners in total. They are not allowed to have any mainland players except for the ones that are registered as foreign players. And they're also expected to spend around 50 million Hong Kong dollars. Wow. Which is a very massive budget. It seems Yeung Ching Kwong will stay on with the team as well. So there is some stability there, something that they didn't really have over the last seasons. They always started with a new coach. And yeah, that will change the game a little bit. We still don't know yet if they are going to stay in Guangzhou. I think the training center will certainly stay in Guangzhou because that's an advantage for them, of course, that they want to use. In Hong Kong, it would become more of a problem if you want to train there permanently. But if they also choose the home ground still in Yangtze Gang Stadium, or if they might be sneaky enough to grab Mong Kok Stadium, which they could, according to the current league ranking, finishing second right behind Taipo, that might also be an option. But it will depend on the FA as well, if they would allow R&F to make the choice, given that they have still played according to other rules.
Yeah, it's a big deal in terms of the changes afoot in Hong Kong football, and I guess in Hong Kong more generally. But I actually don't think that in terms of personnel, it affects them that much. So many of their players are either domestic players, in the case of Lam Ji Kin, or naturalized players, in the case of many, like Ita Perica and Roberto Alfonso. And lots of actually Hong Kong born players, Leung Ngoc Hang, Tan Chun Lok, Lo Kuan Yee. So if they were to have just played with the normal rules this year, it wouldn't have affected them that much. Sean Seah, I believe, is also a domestic player. So there's no reason why they shouldn't do it, really, is there?
No, that's very true. I think this season was a little bit of a waste. Probably it was good for them that it didn't come to winning the league, because that would have meant that they are not eligible to play in Asia. But what's somehow funny, of course, is that they're following a little bit the path of Kitchy. If you think about naturalized players, if you think about the kind of domestic players who are in this gray area, signing some of the former Kitchy players like Lam Chigin and maybe some more in the coming summer. But in addition to this, they have actually the more talented and younger local players as well, if you think about Leung Nok Hang and Tan Chun Lok. So you cannot really blame them for their approach, right? Because they're very much following the kind of Kitchy path. And it will be interesting to see a kind of rival for Kitchy that is basically following the same kind of philosophy in that prospect and also is willing to spend money on it in having infrastructure that should help the team. So having basically two major giants and then all the others are the minnows that are having a run as well.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens with the likes of Taipo and Southern. But I completely agree with your overarching point that, yeah, they're playing the same game in a way as Kitchy. And it is, in the long term, a much bigger threat to Kitchy's dominance. Speaking of Kitchy, they will be playing on Saturday, 4 o'clock, Hong Kong Stadium for the FA Cup final. Big event, second most important trophy, depending on who you speak to, in Hong Kong. They'll be playing against Southern, so the champions aren't involved in this. Of course, the FA Cup, you know, it's a prestigious trophy, but there is something else at stake here, and that is
the AFC Cup qualifying spot.
Yeah. So that means they don't even go straight into the group stage. They've still got to qualify.
Not anymore, yeah? They have to qualify. Except Taipo would go all the way to the ACL group stages because they will be in the Asian Champions League qualifying stage. But yeah, I think that...
That seems highly unlikely. Yeah. Anyway, so we've got a little bit ahead of ourselves here. Any team news? Southern clearly rested some players the other day. You said that similarly Kitchy did. I assume Wang Zhenpeng will be suspended for this game after his red card in the game against Eastern. So Guojian Chao gets to come in for the cup final. Fernando and Lucas were rested, so Fernando escaped any suspension. And so both teams should be more or less at full strength. I don't think Jared Lum is back from injury for Kitchy yet. Of course, he was the man of the match in last year's FA Cup final against Taipo. How do you see this going?
I really hope it will be a good game. I expect it to be a good game. It should be very competitive. It's the third against the fourth. Both finished on the same number of points, 32. I think just from general perception, it seems Southern had the better season than Kitchy. But nonetheless, if I would have to pick my horse, I would go with Southern, mainly because they seem to have a good go at Kitchy this season as well, at the encounters that he had with them. And I think that they are hungry for a trophy. If you think about it, someone's really craving for silverware. I cannot think of any recent years when they...
They were in the Senior Shield final in 2016.
16, right? Against Eastern, that was. So yeah, it has been some time. And I think if they can finish this season with a trophy, then it could be really deemed as a successful season. If not, then it was still kind of a so-so affair eventually. For Kitchy, of course, they already won the Senior Shield, but this already gets old a little bit by June. So of course, it would be good for them if they could also collect one more cup. The fans are not very happy with the performances of recent weeks. So we'll see if they have the strength to really still put up a good fight at the very end of the season.
Yeah, and Southern, as we discussed earlier, they did have a better head-to-head record. They beat Kitchy 2-0 at home in the league. They drew 1-1 away. The teams did meet in the Sapling Cup, which they drew 1-1. So, you know, a generally close recent record, although Southern have got the only win. They could probably feel confident, even if they did lose 7-1 to Yuen Long. You know, Kitchy lost as well to Eastern, so...
Yeah, thinking back also at the surprise defeat for Southern against Hoi King, a lot of people were thinking, okay, this is the end of their campaign. They came back from it quite well the following week. So, yeah, I think that they can distinguish between a meaningless last round Premier League game and a cup final where everything is at stake.
Everything is at stake. I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a good end to what has been such a good season for Hong Kong football, at least in the domestic club game, even if it was a little strange for the national team. If you want to know more about the national team or any other topical issues in Hong Kong football, they will all be covered in the Hong Kong Football Podcast Season Review. Come say hello, get a copy. Look out for, you know, on social media, on our Instagram and Facebook and things like that. We'll put little maps to show where you can come and get a copy. It's completely free, no advertising. It's all paid for by our supporters. And yeah, hopefully we'll see you there. If not, it will be released online as a kind of e-book kind of thing. And if you do want to contribute and push us over that 100% mark, then that would be massively appreciated too. I think that's everything, not only for this edition, but for this season.
Oh, one more thing that we forgot. the national team is coming back. Long time no see.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. You could see that I was kind of wrapping up the episode there, and yeah, completely forgot. Miksu Partalainen, the new coach of the national team, has announced his first preliminary squad. This is the 30-man squad which trains together. Doesn't mean that everyone who is in the squad has made it into the final 23 to face Taiwan.
Also known as Chinese Taipei.
On June 11th.
8 p.m. Mongkok Stadium. We are back at the Mongkok.
Yeah, which is always a good thing, in my opinion. We'll just, as a side note, we will also be distributing a small number of the magazines at that game as well. So if you can't make it to the cup final, maybe get in touch, let us know, and we can make sure that you get a copy there. So who's in this squad? There's a few interesting additions. I've got it open in front of me. Lo Ji-chun, the Kichi right back, he's had a very good season. A few players have done well off the back of Taipo's league win. A couple of their defenders, Fung Hing-hwa and Chak Ting-fung, have made the squad. So has midfielder Philip Chan, who we interviewed a few months ago, and Lee Kar-yu. Obviously, players who always used to make the cut, like Wong Wai, you know, he was always going to be there. Anyone else? I see Shinichi Chan of Kichi. He's only, what, 16, 17?
Mm-hmm.
Only really plays in the Sapling Cup or in the AFC Cup games. Apparently, a few raised eyebrows about his inclusion.
Yeah, but it's just a training squad for now, right? And maybe it's good for him to breathe some air of the kind of senior team training that is going to happen. And now in the new training center, that will be a big advantage for the Hong Kong team as well.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. Getting these people involved in the squad. A lot of players don't even get regular game time until they're 23 or something. So rather than waiting until then, why not have them already in the system? And similarly, Chan Kwong Ho of Yuen Long, who has had a great season, I think 6 goals. He's in there. Anyone else, younger players? Cheng Siu Kwan of Lee Man.
Cheng actually had a good season at Lee Man. He really stood out as one of the better players. And of course, Chung Wai Kung is in there as well. The famous
slayer of Taiwan last time they played. Yeah. Do we have any expectations as regards what Partalainen is going to do? It's him, but also his assistant is Tor Arneson, who is officially the technical director of the HKFA. But in Kenneth Kwok's absence, is going to be the assistant coach. I feel already as though we can see his influence a little bit in the inclusion of these younger players. You know, he's very much about that holistic approach, you know, having a build-up of expertise in the squad, people knowing, rather than getting together a random assortment of people every few months. Other than that, is there anything that we're looking out for here, or it feels a bit like a blank slate to me?
Yeah, it really does. I think for Gary White, he always really liked the 4-4-2 approach. Not really sure what Patalainen's take on it. And we will see like the kind of changes that he makes in the first game already. Interestingly, Paul Oliver Ngoe will not be there. It's a guy that White counted on as a kind of different style of player that he wanted to include. Also, one interesting absentee from the squad is James Ha, who actually had a really good season, but it seems that he didn't want to be called up. So when the Hong Kong FA announced the squad, they put a sentence at the very end of the paragraph saying some players could not be called up due to prior commitments.
Wow, holidays.
Yeah, most likely. So yeah, that's a bit of a bummer, of course. And most likely the reason why some of the players, not just James Ha, but some of the other naturalized older players, thinking of Joanne De Silva, for example, are not in there.
And Ita Perica as well. He's kind of out of the picture now, isn't he, really, internationally?
Right. And 38 years doesn't stop you from playing, right?
No, and he's still one of the best players in the Premier League. So, okay, I think that really is everything. I mean, other things over the summer. I mean, the AFC Cup is still happening. Don't forget that Kichi and Taipo have 2 games left each in the group stage.
2 meaningless games, I have to say.
Yes, they are essentially meaningless. Although one of them will be both of them head-to-head in Mongkok. What's left of Taipo's team.
Ouch.
Yeah, most of them playing for Kichi, probably. But yeah, so keep an eye out for that. We may return at certain points over the summer, but you know, this is officially the end of the season for us. Thank you so much for sticking with us over this season and previous seasons. We really appreciate you guys taking the time out of your day to listen to our podcast. And have a great summer. Do something other than football. Or the Women's World Cup is happening as well. You can watch that.
Right. You can also renovate your apartment. Like
the guys upstairs. You can probably hear drilling away. We've been doing that for weeks. That's not very good.
Okay.
I think we've definitely got to the end of this. Have a good summer. Enjoy the FA Cup final. Come get a copy of the season review magazine off us. Other than that, until next season, take care. Hope your team wins. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's a place for you.